It's The Buzz 24-7 at morningbuzz.com.
This is unbelievable.
Now that's what's up.
Yeah, that's what's up. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Laura J. Boyce.
Sometimes I forget when you tell people to email me to win something and then you ask, throw in something. And then I'm like, why are all these people telling me how many fingers and toes they have? And I'm like, it's like, oh, why do I have 180 messages in my inbox that are talking about their toes and fingers?
Sorry about that.
Oh.
Sorry about that.
Yep.
Sometimes even I forget. You know what I mean? Scott McMullen on vocals. Lately.
Hi there.
We're so sorry, Uncle Albert. All right. Hey, welcome to the Buzz 24-7, our little after show soiree.
I'm responding to everybody's emails. Thank you.
Are you tired?
Oh, no. It's funny.
Yeah.
Yep. Amy said that some lady came into her work, because Amy's not one to go, oh, this is who my husband is.
Neither is salary.
Yeah.
Some woman came into the office and was like, oh my God, so this guy on the radio? And Amy's like, oh yeah, I know him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what
she wanted you all to know that she's perfectly fine. And for Valentine's Day, we're going out to eat, but I said, we'll go to Barnes & Noble. Amy loves her books. And she's like, oh, you're going to regret saying that to me after yesterday. Well, and I'm like, fantastic.
Right. Like, how many books does she read a week? Does she read? Like, it takes me months to get through a book if I physically sit and read it.
And she...
I'm very slow.
...is probably every other week new book. But see, like, Amy brings it, reads during lunch.
Mm-hmm.
If she has an appointment anywhere, she's always reading. And I wanted this year to change a lot of things. I'm on my third book this year. I'm trying to do the same thing. Because over the years, we've interviewed some of the best musicians who have written really kick-ass books. And I've been carrying these books around and carrying... Finally, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Put the effort in, start reading these, and I really enjoyed it.
If it's at night, I start reading.
You're going out.
It doesn't take me long.
Yeah, right. Me too.
It's helping me sleep, but I want to read a little.
Yeah, I have to read for vacation.
8 o'clock is, okay, I'm getting ready for bed. Excuse me. FaceTime the girls.
Yeah.
And then I want to be asleep by 9. So I read up to like 8:50, 8:55, call it a night, and try to at least get a chapter in. Amy will 2 or 3 hours a night.
See, well, that's my problem. That's why I have 3 books for vacation, set aside for vacation. Because once I start a book, I get so into it that the next thing you know, it's 11 and I'm going, crap, I have to be up at 3:30 in the morning. And
always,
then it backfires on me.
For the longest time, we have 2 lights on our nightstands. It wasn't bright enough. So I'd go in to read at night, put a flashlight under my chin, and Amy's like, what are you doing? So she went out with the girls one night and they went to a bookstore and she got me a UFO that you clip onto the back of the book. And I love it. But she's like, I look over there and you're reading. I got the flashlight.
That's weird that you would do that. That's weird. So I have a Kindle, right? So I do, because some people like you probably like the hardbook, right? So I have the Kindle and all I know is I read when I go on vacation and like, I don't remember the book I'm reading on my Kindle. It's a Stephen King book, and it is good. I can't remember what the name of it is or even what the story is. When I go back to – when I pick up the Kindle again, I will have to go back a few pages to remind me where I'm at.
Yep.
The books on tape, however, all the time. And I did just pick up a hardcover – I mean, just a softcover book at Barnes & Noble about Frank Sinatra's best friends at the end of his life.
I'm all about – the music books. I love them.
Mm-hmm.
Really enjoy.
I put this aside to have a frank discussion. And Scotty, this is probably more your territory than, say, Laura's or Kelly's, or more a little bit mine. But if I said to you, who do you think, according to a very popular rock and roll website, who's the best hair metal frontman ever? What do you think, Laura? Do you have a guess?
Hair metal? Is this like a Dee Snider, Bret Michaels, those kind of people?
No, see, I am thinking exactly like you were. Because
metal is different to me than I think hair metal is. I think those bands are not metal at all.
Dee Snider, exactly. Bret Michaels.
Dee Snider is 10. Bret Michaels is 7.
Okay, what about Jenny Lane from Warrant?
Can I just say, Poison is about as metal as my left nut.
Right. Neither
it's just not metal.
But what do you do with something
silicone,
that doesn't fit any other category? And
yeah,
for years, they go, put it in metal. But
yeah,
you know, they consider tool metal, and tools, I don't really consider metal.
Well, let's put it this way. It's a terrible name for this category because Sammy Hagar is number three. And he's not hair metal.
No.
So
David
Vince
Lee Roth
Neil,
is number two.
Vince Neil.
David Lee Roth is number two. And he's not hair metal.
That was
metal.
not hair metal. He was...
Glam, maybe, but not hair metal.
Glam in his solo stuff, but he was a rock singer in Van Halen.
Vince Neil is number eight. Don Dokken, 15. Jack Blades, Janie Lane, Kevin Dubrow, Stephen Piercy, that's 14. 15 through 11. Hair metal is like Cinderella, is like Vixen, is like, you know.
It was a band that you noticed their look before you noticed their sound.
Right. Joe Elliott is fourth. John Bon Jovi. These aren't, you know, I mean, this isn't hair metal to me.
No.
It's just rock and roll.
This is a horrible list. And you know, Sammy Hagar, rock singer. I'm talking the pretty boys. The boys that went out there and they teased their hair.
What about Coverdale? He's number nine. Whitesnake.
Whitesnake was around in the 70s.
Yeah.
And what were they? They were
heavy metal.
Slow and easy.
Yeah.
They were a heavy metal band.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Kix was they were a hair band, right? They were hair metal.
Yeah.
Striper was a hair metal.
Very much so.
God Squad.
Yeah.
Axl Rose, number one.
No.
It's not metal.
That wasn't
rock and roll.
That was, yeah.
Right. I agree. Who's the best front man, period? Like, just in your opinion, I'll tell you, the
Mick
front
Jagger.
Yeah.
One of them.
The way he just...
Yeah. Personality.
Yeah.
Moves.
I mean, if you watched Zeppelin 2 back in the day.
I got to say, Steven Tyler is, in his prime, there was nobody better. That guy, screaming machine, that guy.
If I'm going, you know, back in the 60s, in 60s and 70s, you got Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, Robert Plant
owned that stage.
Like, the way he moved, too. And that's why I look at Mick Jagger.
I guess.
I don't think of Robert Plant as one of the best front men. But
hair and the way he massages microphones.
Yeah, he's cool. I'm not saying he's bad or cool. I just don't know if he was the best front man. I look for someone you can't take your eyes off. Steven Tyler is one of the guys you can't take it. And you may hate him. But Bono is about as good a front man as there is.
And for the 80s, 70s and 80s, David Lee Roth?
Yeah.
He put a show on.
What can I think of the Queen?
Freddie Mercury.
Freddie Mercury.
One of the best.
Another phenomenal. But I'm going to go in the last 20 years, I'll say David Grohl. David Grohl, absolutely.
Lizzie Hale.
Absolutely.
Lizzie Hale is the best front woman in rock and roll, and I say that with all due respect to Taylor Momsen, who was a very close second, but they're both one and two. What a punch. And I also like that Emily Robinson from Linkin Park. I would go see Linkin Park to see her sing. You know? I saw Linkin Park before. They were very good.
Yeah.
I just love her vocals. I love what she brings to the band. You know? Not saying she's better. She's just different. She resuscitated a band that was no longer. So
I had this conversation with a buddy the other day, and they didn't like it. And I'm like, I'm going to be, here's the honest truth. The people who dislike her, I know the family of Chester put up a huge stink. Your father killed himself and can never, ever be replaced. He's gone. Okay?
Agreed.
And that's not, it's unfair to the rest of the band members to never do this again.
So aren't they helping hit part of his music live on?
And you're still going to be financially getting something from that music continuing. So
if they had an equal arrangement contractually, and if he wrote the songs, yes.
I find that irritating with people like Hawkins. He OD'd. He died. Yes, he was a phenomenal drummer and the best for the Foo Fighters. Yes. Well, the band still deserves to go on.
What, are you going
to
punish the whole band?
Oh, God, did that piss me off. When they played Bank NH Pavilion, it was the first show back after Taylor Hawkins passed away, and people like, Josh Freese is no Justin Hawkins. Who said that? Nobody said he was. He didn't say that.
No.
Dave Grohl didn't say that.
For the longest time, in the front of his kick drums was his face.
Taylor's picture.
And you're not going to find a better guy, a respectable drummer carrying on. Yes, it would be phenomenal for Shane, the son, to take over. But he's also still a high school kid.
Everybody's a friggin' critic. Like, you're the guy that's qualified to declare who the best. You can have a favorite, but you don't have to be a dick to the person that, you know, is hired by a band because they want to continue with their dream. Mm-hmm. You know, think about it. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Redonk.
Totally redonk, yeah. Kelly. Yeah, best frontman. I mean, Steven Tyler. I know I'm probably forgetting. There are some, you know, there are some people that are reluctant frontmen. Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Rico Kasich, the most reluctant frontman ever. You want to go see a band that did, like, almost the cars stood like cardboard cutouts when I saw them in a sold out Civic Center in Portland, Maine. The Candy O tour. They barely moved. Their biggest move of the show is at the encore number was Dangerous Type. When the band sang, "Can I bring you out in the light?" And they turned the lights on in the arena. That was the biggest effect in the show.
I would have thrown Jim Morrison in there, but sometimes he got so drunky.
Yeah.
From what I've seen.
And Jim Morrison, in the beginning, faced the band.
Yeah. I tried it.
They played the first few shows. They interviewed the guy. I'm not sure if it was the Cat House or one of the forever clubs that's in California. He said, "You guys aren't coming back unless your singer turns around."
Right.
I mean, we can't have him. It's disrespectful to not be facing the crowd.
I wish I appreciated Queen. Like, I always liked Queen, but I didn't know how iconic and good Freddie was. Mm-hmm. Until later.
And you see after the live videos and you're
exactly.
like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't own Killer Queens, the live album.
That was my first CD I stole from my dad.
Yeah.
I loved it and listened to it all the time.
Yep.
Something he was teased as a kid for having the big mouth, the smile, and that's what made him the true artist.
It was an unlikely hero.
Yeah.
That's who Freddie Mercury was. I was a huge fan. I mean, I saw Heart as the concerts that I went to. Jay Giles Band. Peter Wolfe as a front man and the front of the Jay Giles Band. And I love his solo stuff. Peter Wolfe, that one of the best shows I've ever seen. I saw them several times. They never disappointed the Jay Giles Band. They just made you want to have fun, you know, and great, great shows. So the Portland Civic Center, and the show ended. Lights came back on. People started leaving. They were halfway across the floor. It was a GA show, right? So everybody jams down onto the floor. All of a sudden, you hear somebody yell over the PA system, "Where you mother is going?" And you turn around. Peter Wolfe is back on stage. This is after like five encores. He goes, "Where you mother is going?" And then the crowd turned. Imagine doing this today. Half of the floor is now in the walking up the stands. Mm-hmm. And then they turn on, and it's a stampede for the show, for the front of the arena again. I was like, whoa, boy. But it was cool.
Yep.
It was cool. They played a couple more songs. One of the best, one of my favorite frontmen.
You brought up something like, I am glad I was born when I was, because I got to see great shows during a concert. You know, a band like Aerosmith played on top of a building in Fenway when I saw them. It was amazing. Now you're not seeing that as much anymore.
They don't do cool stuff.
But you're also, what you're seeing is them doing what, they're not putting on a show, they're putting on a concert, which I don't have a problem with. A band comes out, they got a few lights, they got a great sound system, and they're there to play, and it's no longer, oh, hey, look, that fell from the ceiling. I watched an Egyptian thing crumble for Kiss. I saw the Lady Justice fall apart. Now you're seeing the band play.
I just saw a giant cocaine pile go up nose of the Sphinx.
Love that story.
At the opening of an entire sheet covered the stage, Kelly, and it all came to a point like a tent, and all of a sudden the music started. ZZ Top was under that giant white sheet, and the sheet went up the Sphinx's nose. Like cocaine, Kelly.
Billy Gibbons hanging out at the Drum Center of Portsmouth yesterday, because their drummer used to be in Double Trouble.
Mm-hmm.
He was there doing some shopping.
Yeah, they're playing together. Aren't they playing?
Yeah.
When's that show? Is that coming up?
Wasn't
that tonight?
I would think that it was either last night or tonight.
So yesterday, I don't know if you read that Gene Simmons came out again, and I've never agreed with him, but this time I think I do. He said, there are no big rock bands left. And I think he's right.
Like Metallica and Foo Fighters are still pretty big.
Yeah.
I think U2 is still pretty big when they decide to tour. I think the Rolling Stones this year were still big.
I think
maybe the young ones?
Kelly, the Rolling Stones, I think what he's talking about is bands that are taking the stage by storm
in
and
the prime?
Aren't your heritage bands. Yeah. Because Foo Fighters are now, okay. all young, you said are all great.
Okay. So who's the good young...
I mean, even Shinedown and Godsmack have been around 20 plus years.
Yeah. Take a look at your life and go 20, 30 years ago, you were probably going to a show a month.
Yeah.
One that you were excited about.
Right.
You were going to...
Not a heritage act.
And you were going to a pretty good size arena, not disrespecting any of the smaller venues.
Yep.
And you were like, oh my God, this summer we're doing this.
Right.
We're going... For me... I got like 5 shows I'd like to go to, and all of them are at little clubs in Boston. Mm-hmm. There's no more big, gigantic show. Like, if you're a metalhead, you have to go to this show because it's going to be just incredible. There's none of that anymore.
Yeah. And I think that Gene is right, and it sucks to say because, you know, you got bands that are out there that are great, and I'm not saying that there's not good music out there because there is. It's everywhere, but they're not making it like...
rock and roll has died.
Has definitely died a slow... It's still there,
but it's
nowhere near where it was, and I don't know if it's ever going to go back.
I don't think it is either.
And that's the iPod.
I think maybe in there, like if this was 30 years ago, Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats would be playing arenas.
Well, I wouldn't have thought the Lumineers would be, and they played the Boston Garden. So.
It's such a different type of music. Like 20 years ago, you wouldn't think like, oh, there's not going to be like kids in a garage making music anymore. That's not the kind of music they're making.
There's no Bon Jovi's coming out with Slippery When Wet. It's all pop music or country music.
And some of these,
but like the Andy Ritt and Lumineers and stuff,
great.
I don't think they're pop.
Great. They're great.
It's more
rock
soul.
And, roll,
and like Teddy Swims is like a soul.
Right.
Like, I guess people say he's country. I don't really think. Country, when I think of Teddy Swims, the country people that play that I don't like, it's too, like you call it bro country
bro,
or whatever.
Bro country,
I don't
like
that kind of music.
I love Chris Stapleton, but I don't like bro country.
But I love Nathaniel Rateliff and I love Teddy Swims, and I think those are great artists, but they're not rock and roll.
You're not hearing about the next Shredder.
Right.
The next phenomenon. Grace Bowers is a 18-year-old girl who a friend of mine who's living in Nashville has had a chance to jam with a few times. And he's like, you should check this girl. I told Laura about her and my brother because she's kind of jam band.
Yeah.
I have not heard anybody else that's could be the next big thing when it comes to the guitar and everything, except this girl.
Yeah.
You don't really hear about it anymore.
It's crazy. It's crazy. There's good music out there. I mean, I use Spotify and iHeart, and they, when they say new artists and stuff, I always check them out. You know, I love, like, I'm a roots Americana. Scotty makes fun of it, bluegrass guy. And I listen to new artists all the time, and then I just put them in playlists and things, and that's what I listen to, you know, and that's how I get to know new music. That's how I found Chris Stapleton. That's how I found, on the rock side, there's a band called Truesdale that's kind of like a rock pop band that's three women that have the tightest harmonies I've ever heard. It's crazy. But yeah, so there is good music out there, but no big rock names anymore.
Nope.
Maybe it's over. I don't know. I hope not.
It's sad.
You know,
I don't want it to be over.
All right, we got to go, unfortunately. A little rock talk this morning on The Rock Shop. That's what we do. Kelly, thank you. Are you picking me with your... Are you scratching me?
Scratch your leg.
Thank you very much. He's got his back scratcher under
shady.
The table.
This is why I turn around when I eat a banana.
Enjoy the rest of the day, everybody. And we will see you tomorrow, 5:30 in the morning.